This podcast was recorded on Drumble Country, which I work, live and raise my daughter on. And I pay my respects to the Drumble elders past, present and emerging.
A Pocket Full of Healing with Pinky.
Hello, sweet things. Today on the podcast, we are talking about the hobbies that have been taken up after a long-term relationship or marriage ends. Side note, if this is the first time you've listened to my podcast, I do recommend starting at the start. So just listening to episode one to get yourself across how it works. It is a pick a path podcast after all. So today we're talking hobbies, and I guess I put something on the gram at least a year or so ago just to ask if anybody had taken up any hobbies or found out some new ways of living post-breakup, marriage ending, etc. And I had some amazing women get in touch with me in my DMs to share their stories. We were chatting for ages. It was really exciting, actually, just great energy. So in particular, I caught up with Steph, who told me that she discovered beekeeping. And I was like, fuck yes. I even referenced that in the first episode. So Steph joins us now. Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Now, can we get a little bit of a backstory about yourself, please, Steph, before we get into the really exciting, sweet stuff about beekeeping?
Absolutely. So I am a single mum of three children. I obviously live alone half of the time, and I live with my kids the other half of the time. So I am coming up 3 years being divorced. And I work full time, I study full time, and I parent part time.
You've got a lot on your plate.
I do. I do have a lot on my plate, and it's never ending. I continue to say yes to everything because I just love to do things. I love to help people. I love to give back. And I find myself creating graphics and doing social media stuff for a local football club and going out and doing all this stuff for little athletics. And
good on you.
All of these little things is like my finger in every pie.
So, post-divorce, how did you realise you needed a new hobby or any hobbies at all?
I had never, ever lived alone before. I'd gone from being with my parents to my first partner, which is he's the father of my first daughter, and then back to my parents again after that, and then to my ex-husband.
Yep.
So, being alone for the first time, not only did I find myself wondering who the hell I was.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, what can I do? Like, what are these things that I've thought about doing in my life that I've never actually, you know, been brave enough to sort of just go out and try? And so a fair few of those things, I tried things, and some I didn't like, some I did. And mostly I really enjoyed just getting out into the garden. And I had a friend who had bees, and I was like, you've got bees in your backyard? And she was like, yeah, anyone can have bees in their backyard. And I was like, no, they can't. That's not a thing. And then all of a sudden it was just popping up all over my Facebook and Instagram. It was like flow hive this and beekeeping that. And I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it because I wanted to do it when I was married. And my ex-husband wasn't exactly forthcoming with the idea. He was worried about the dog and the kids getting stung, and totally get it. But when I was alone, I was like, well, I need something else to do. So I got myself a beehive.
Wow. So you discovered this through a friend, or she kind of gave you encouragement to, get in there and find out all about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I asked her a few questions, and she told me how simple it was. And then I did some research online and watched some videos, and I read some reviews and everything like that. And I just bit the bullet and spent the money, got the hive. It comes like flat pack, so you get to build it, which gives you like a real sense of like achievement when you finish it, especially when you paint it like the color you want it to be and everything like that. And I really found that was like quite being able to achieve something alone without having to ask someone else for help, like, was really encouraging for me to be able to do. And then I got to choose where it went in the backyard, and you know, and then thank goodness my parents had a friend who's a beekeeper, and so he got me set up with some bees and everything like that, and he guided me through, you know, the whole setup process and everything. And then I found myself out there every morning sitting on a stool in front of the hive with my cup of coffee, watching the bees fly in and out. And I was like, it was great. It was awesome.
This is so great. So now you've got the hives, you've got the bees. So what's the process? What kind of commitment is involved from you now?
It's actually pretty simple. The bees just do their thing. Like, they are naturally a feral insect. When we use the word feral, obviously sounds really bad, but feral actually means wild and can take care of itself, sort of thing. Yep. So they just take care of themselves. You know, quite often you can find like little bugs and beetles and stuff in the hive and everything. But basically, they build up their colony in the brood box down the bottom, and then when it's ready, you put the super box on the top, and then they start going up into there and they fill it with honey. When it's ready, all you do is just open one end, put a little spout in, turn the little key and like a tap, and that's it. And then the honey comes out into a bucket.
Now, Steph, how often are you getting the honey out of the bucket?
Obviously, through winter, it quietens down because they need extra honey to sort of like feed themselves.
Right.
But I'd say throughout spring and summer, you can harvest probably maybe four times safely. You can get about 18 kilos of honey each time.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's good. And it's great. The kids love it too. They love coming out and sort of, you know, coming out and helping, and they put their bee suits on and everything. And
so
they're really
great.
Cute.
Yeah. And so do you have to use the smoker and all of that?
Yeah, you use the smoker only when you open up the hive to do an inspection. You don't have to use the smoker when you actually harvest the honey, because FlowHive has designed it that you go to the back of the hive to harvest the honey, and it's safer, obviously, because in the front of the hive is where the bees are going in and out, and you're not in their, like, line of traffic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And also honeycomb. I loved the honeycomb as a kid. Not that we had beehives, but, you know, when you could get it from the market. So do you get that as well?
Not necessarily with the FlowHive,
with
because
that
of the way that they're made.
Yeah.
But I think you maybe can get some, like, if you get it out of the brood box, but it's not really a focus. But they do have, I know that FlowHive do have a hive that you can do both at the top. So you can have, like, the flow frame, which the honey comes from, but then also extra frames to get honeycomb from.
Yeah, righto. I have heard about flow hives. I think I saw something on the ABC about the people that created them. So they do sound a bit more user-friendly, right?
Yeah, they are user-friendly. Yeah. They can be a little expensive, but once you've got it all set up and running, then obviously, and you sell your honey at the front, then you can, you know, get your money back.
So how do you think this hobby has helped you evolve as a person post-divorce, and how has it impacted you and the kids?
I think it's really nice for, especially the kids, like, to have something special to do with mum.
It's lovely.
So it's like if they learn about bees or honey or anything like that at school, they can instantly go, well, I've got a beehive at my mum's house, and it's something that I do with my mum, and it's special kind of thing. So I think it's really special for them in that way. And then they can relate to other people as well. My daughter, her teacher this year, has a flow hive, and as soon as she found out, she was so excited that she had something to relate to him with. So that was super special as well. And I think that, like, for me, having just something that's sort of self-sufficient, but then, you know, I have to step in when needed to sort of do, was special and different. And, you know, it's helped me a lot because it's like I never really knew who I was before, you know, before I lived alone. And now I actually really, really enjoy being by myself, having my time to read, to, you know, just to breathe and not have to be constantly running around after the kids and everything or have noise in the house or whatever. But so, I mean, don't get me wrong, I miss my kids when they're not with me.
Yeah, quite a gaping hole, isn't it? I hear from a lot of mums where there's the week on, week off, where all of a sudden there's just nothing going on.
Yeah.
One extreme to the other.
Yes, absolutely. Like the house is crazy different, different. It's like so quiet.
Yeah.
And then they get back and it's just wild and I wouldn't change it for the world. And then they go back again and it's just dead quiet and sometimes it's too quiet. But yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've actually created yourself such a lovely lifestyle now.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have, and I've said this to a few friends, I've created my own little world.
Yeah.
I feel like after I sort of went through my couple of relationships, I was sort of falling into step with what they did and what they liked and and where they went. And I never really, I did do things that I wanted to do, but I didn't explore further things because I didn't feel like I was capable of doing it. But now that I live alone and I have to do things like change light bulbs by myself, put a shelf up on the wall by myself, or you know, those sorts of things. It's really made me feel like I can do this alone and I don't need anyone to help me. And it's really quite empowering to realize that you don't have to have somebody. It's nice to have somebody, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have somebody to live your life. And I mean, someone might come along for me again one day and I'll have that again. But right now I'm more than happy by myself, you know, learning about who I am and becoming a better mother. I feel like I'm such a better mother now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love being at home. Like I said, my own little world, you know, not disturbed by anybody, but little feet running around every second week. I wouldn't have it any other way at the moment.
Well, girl, you're making your own honey. I think you're nailing it.
Hey, I don't make the honey, the bees do. I just sell it out the front. They're working for me.
You just manage them, yeah. Any, like, social pages you'd recommend for anyone who might be interested in getting into being a beekeeper?
I definitely think that anyone interested should follow FlowHive on Instagram or Facebook, and I think they've got a TikTok account as well, most definitely. And specifically for women, there's actually a Women in Beekeeping Facebook group.
Nice.
So, obviously some beekeeping groups, you can get some harsh feedback if you ask questions or whatever else, but this Women in Beekeeping group is quite, makes it a safer place. Not that it's not a safe place to be anywhere else, but like on, you know, it makes you feel more comfortable to ask those questions that you're not so sure about.
Wonderful. Well, I think this is one of my sweetest chats that I've had so far on the podcast.
Definitely going to cause a bit of a buzz for you.
There we go. Perfect. Excellent. Well, it's been lovely speaking to you, Steph. I love your world. It sounds magical, and keep looking after yourself.
Thank you so much, Pinky. It was great to speak with you too.
If you would care to share some of the hobbies you have discovered for yourself post-breakup, please let me know on the socials, Pinky's Bits on Facebook and Instagram. Until then, keep me in your pocket.
A pocket full of healing with Pinky. Sunshine.